no helicopters have been procured for me to go to golf course. Thank you.
I've never said he wasn't a great politician. I'm just saying he's a off.
He's listening to you.
How'd you play out there today?
Well, I found the conditions challenging, mostly because there's no grass on the golf course, but there never has been.
I'm thinking about the swag bag, and I have high hopes for the swag bag.
When you got three crevices on the green, your course is trash.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome back to the Beltway Golfer Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Dixon. We are on episode 84 and got a few guests today. The U.S. Girls Junior is happening this week, and I'm joined by three young ladies, Emerson Roy Chowdhury, Sophie Chow, and Kanchana Dwongsam. All three grew up playing golf here in Northern Virginia and have competed against each other, and all three qualified into the U.S. Girls Junior taking place this week, kicking off on Monday, July 15th, out at El Caballero Country Club just outside Los Angeles. And so decided to have all three girls on. We had a little conversation with all four of us, and it was fun to get to know these young ladies and a little bit about their golf game and their golf careers. First U.S. Girls Junior I got to watch in person was just a few years ago, which we talked about a little bit in our conversation, up at Columbia Country Club when Rose Zhang bested local golfer Bailey Davis to win the U.S. Girls Junior. We actually did a podcast for the lead up to Columbia Country Club back when that took place in 2021, but really enjoyed meeting all three of these young ladies and getting to know them a little better, and we'll certainly be cheering them on in next week's U.S. Girls Junior out in California. Before we get into the conversation, I also want to shout out another former podcast guest who took home a huge win this week. Miss Bailey Bish won the third annual U.S. Adaptive Open. She won the overall women's category. She was competing in the neurological impairment division, but she won the overall women's competition, another USGA event. And if you go back, she joined the Beltway Golfer Podcast back on episode 49 when we interviewed several participants for the U.S. DGA at Laurel Hill, which is the United States Disabled Golf Association. But Bailey's certainly come a long way, and for her to get this win, to win a USGA event, congratulations to her. It's pretty cool. So go back and check that out if you haven't heard it. Episode 49 of the Beltway Golfer Podcast. You can listen to Bailey Bish. And congratulations to her on winning the third annual U.S. Adaptive Open Championship. Want to get to the podcast here. Certainly remember to go to Pinned Golf. Certainly remember, if you're in the market for a new range finder or on-course speaker, go to Pinned Golf, P-I-N-N-E-D Golf, and enter code Beltway to get 15% off your order. We've been using the Pinned Golf rangefinder for some time now. Works great. Super accurate. It gives you everything you need. Highly recommend it. Some cool colors they got there. PinnedGolf.com. Enter code Beltway for 15% off. Not much else to get into. Let's jump into the podcast. This is episode 84. Enjoy and make sure to cheer them on at next week's U.S. Girls Junior. All right, ladies, thank you for joining me here on the Beltway Golfer Podcast. I'm joined by Kanchana Dwongsam, Sophie Chow, and Emerson Roy Chowdhury. I've done several podcasts with many people, but today we're going to have a conversation kind of with all four of us. I want to start off by congratulating all three of you for qualifying for the U.S. Girls Junior, which is next week. One of my first questions, I want to hear a little bit about each of kind of how you got into the U.S. Girls Junior. You're qualifying. I'll start with Emerson, because Emerson, you made the U.S. Girls Junior last year, right?
Yeah, I did. So I did the same qualifier that I did last year in Williamsburg, and I had the same caddy that I did. And it's just a one-day qualifier, so I got up there the day before, played a practice round, and then Sophie and I were actually at the same qualifier, so we didn't play together, though.
Well, that's my first question. I'm thinking, you know, a lot of times maybe your parent is a caddy, but maybe I'm wrong. Is it a coach? Who is your caddy for these?
So I got my caddy through a mutual friend, and he's like a family friend now. But okay. In the U.S. Girls, your parents cannot be your caddy. So that was not an option. Not that I'd want it to be.
I imagine your parents and family play a big role in your golf lives. But when have all of you kind of moved on from family being caddies and being with you on every round? Or is there still a parent or a family member, you know, with you on most of your golf rounds?
Well, definitely with me on most of my golf rounds. I can't drive yet, so I have to have someone to get me to the tournaments. I love having my family to watch and support me. But yeah, no more caddying, because that just usually results in fighting.
So sticking with you, Emerson, so last year, the U.S. Girls Junior was in Colorado Springs at the Air Force, at the Eisenhower Golf Club at the United States Air Force Academy. What was that experience like, and what can you take from last year that, A, can help yourself this year, and B, maybe share with Kinshana and Sophie?
It was like an experience of a lifetime. It was such a beautiful course. It was definitely like the hardest course I'd played thus far in a tournament. And it was a pretty big stage. There were a lot of college coaches around. I was playing with girls who had done it before, and meeting a lot of girls I'd only heard of and never actually gotten the chance to play with. So I feel like this year going into it, I'm going to be used to being on a bigger stage. And I saw that basically like even par is going to make the cut every time, so I don't need to do anything fancy or special. And I'm really excited to see what I can do this year.
Sophie, this was your first time attempting to qualify for the U.S. Girls Junior down at Williamsburg?
Yeah, it was the first time I was trying to qualify.
So how many girls qualified from each location? Like how many made it through from Williamsburg?
I think three were from Williamsburg, but it like depends based on the field size for other locations.
So Sophie, you just finished your freshman year. Do you play at Langley? Do I have that right?
Yeah.
Excellent. So I actually had your coach on the show, on the podcast, Al Berg. Yeah, I did an interview with Berg. So who's the new coach at Langley now?
Bean. He used to coach girls golf. He's at co-ed now.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So Kinshana, you were at a different qualifier. You were up in Pennsylvania. What was the golf course that you qualified there?
It was at Huntsville Golf Club in Dallas, Pennsylvania.
Got it. Okay. So where does, you know, the U.S. Girls Junior, I mean, this is a prestigious USGA event. Is this, you know, there's so many different junior tournaments, not, you know, regionally, locally, nationally. Is the U.S. Girls Junior, like, you know, is this kind of on your calendar what you've been shooting for some time, or where does this rank?
Well, I would say for me, I've been trying to qualify for like the past 3 years, and thankfully this year I was able to qualify. I would say that this tournament is definitely like one of the biggest ones in my golf bucket list, I would say.
Okay.
It's definitely like just an amazing thing that has happened, and I'm super, super excited to be able to go play in California.
What's the furthest you've traveled to play in a golf tournament?
Well, for me right now, I currently live in the Middle East. So, yeah, I would say playing in Dubai was probably, like, kind of the furthest.
I would say. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Florida before this. I guess Colorado. So that was basically
okay.
Last year. Yeah.
I've only played as far as Florida.
Okay. Well, I do. So one of the reasons we wanted to have all three of you on here, because you all have competed in similar events to some extent here in Northern Virginia. Call Northern Virginia. It sounds like Emerson and Sophie, maybe more so than Kinshana, call Northern Virginia home. But so Kinshana, it sounds like you were, because I coming into this interview, I thought, you know, you were half Virginia, half Orlando, but now you're saying you also live in the Middle East.
Yeah.
Where in the Middle East do you live?
So I basically moved to the Middle East about 3 years ago in 2022. My dad had a job and he was like, let's just move. It'll be easier.
Okay.
I come back during the summertime to compete in golf tournaments, but I normally stay in Virginia. I don't live in Florida at all. I just have a residence in Florida, and that's like our only way of putting my name in like golf tournaments. So every time I play, it always says Orlando, Florida, but I don't live in Florida.
That's funny. So you need that residence in Florida to be able to qualify for certain events. Oh, that's funny.
Yes.
Interesting. Wouldn't have thought that. And Sophie, so you play at Langley. Emerson, where are you in school, and where do you go to school?
I'm homeschooled, so I don't play high school golf.
Got it. Does being homeschooled, does that allow you to, I imagine that allows your schedule to play golf. How does that affect your schedule?
Well, I think people would think that it allows you to play more tournaments, but that's not necessarily true because tournaments are usually on the weekends. It allows you to practice a lot more because I don't have the time commitment that I have to be in a physical classroom for like 7 hours a day. I can, it depends how long it takes me, but it's definitely not 7 hours. So it just allows me to practice and get better and then also go to tournaments and be able to do school beyond like brick and mortar walls. So I can do school in the car and in hotel rooms, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, I imagine that gives you a tremendous amount of flexibility. Are your parents or one of your parents essentially teaching you?
No, I go to a school. It's called Enlightium Academy. It's based in Washington. And like Gianna Clement, she goes to the same school. So it's for athletes and not for like, it's still very academically rigorous, but it's not like that time commitment. Like some of the homeschool things, they're for people who are really school intensified and they allow you to take like super high level classes and stuff, which you could do, but this is more like athletic and academic focus, if that makes sense.
It absolutely does. I'm not familiar with that. I've never really thought about that, but it makes all the sense in the world to have kind of a program that allows young athletes to be more flexible with their time so they can travel different events. Interesting. I'll have to research more of that. How long have you been doing that?
I've been doing it for 3 years now, and I love it.
I bet. Interesting. So what is the history between the three of you? Have you grown up playing one another or competing against each other in tournaments? Like, do you guys know each other very well?
Yeah. So
Emerson for a long time.
Yeah. Okay. So Sophia and I are the same age. So we've played like forever in US Kids and stuff. And I think I've been with Chana longer than I've known Sophie though. Cause yeah, you probably started playing before Sophie. But yeah, US Kids is definitely where it all started. And I don't know, I have so many memories. Like, Sydney knew and Katrina, they would always have playoffs together. And we'd all go out and watch, and it would be so much fun. And then Katrina would have to give speeches, which she didn't like. But we would help encourage her to give speeches.
Yeah.
And then Sophie and I, we played at the Nota Begay qualifier. When it turns out, we both didn't need to qualify, but we played anyway. Yeah. Which, because we didn't know, and we actually had a really good time. Because it was just, like, the two of us with this other boy, but he wasn't really involved with us, and we had a great time.
So, well, let me ask you this. How long have you each been playing golf? When did you pick up the game?
I think I started learning when I maybe, like, 5 years ago. But I only really started playing tournaments, like, 4 years ago, I think.
Oh, wow. And how old are you now?
I'm 15.
You're 15. Interesting. So you started playing tournaments almost like right after learning the game. That's interesting. I had on one of my last podcasts, I had last year's U.S. Boys Junior winner, Brian Kim, who's also from the Washington, D.C. area on. And he was kind of similar. I'm trying to remember, but he said he didn't pick up the game of golf, I think, until he was like 11, maybe 11 or 12. He said something that kind of blew my mind. But that's interesting. I mean, so that's a big kind of leap. I imagine a lot of the other girls in this competition have been playing for longer. So, Kanchana, how about you? When did you pick up the game?
I first touched a golf club about 5 years old, and I started competing US Kids and around 6 years old. So I've been playing about 11 years now.
Okay. Emerson, yourself?
First touched a club, same, like around 5, but I started playing competitively at 7. And Katrina and a bunch of the other girls in my age group, they started playing at like 6 and 5. So I felt like I was late to the game. But then Sophie showed up, started playing at 11. So she was the one who was really late.
At that young age, you know, when you're 5 or 6, you know, you can find competitive tournaments to play in even that young?
Yeah, US Kids, 7 and under.
What do I know? That's impressive. So when did you start, like Kanchana and Emerson, when did you start, you know, taking the game really seriously? Like, did you start working with coaches pretty young?
Yeah, for me, I had, like, I think multiple coaches when I was younger, but right now I stick to only one. I started, like, taking golf seriously about the age of 9 years old. My parents were really, like, committed to it, and I was like, okay. And I was really, like, it was just a dream, especially, like, because I would always want to turn pro, and I'm like, I need to turn pro and persuade this dream of mine.
Interesting. Emerson?
Yeah, I would say I started taking it, like, really seriously. I mean, I always had coaches and practiced and stuff, but It really started like after COVID, and I was homeschooled, and you really start making sacrifices to just put golf as like your number one sport, and you start doing things other kids aren't, which I'm sure you guys are like really familiar with. And especially like feels like my life is I'm always packing and unpacking like literally every single week. But that's when you start taking it seriously and practicing and putting the hard work in.
When does that switch happen? And Sophie, I'll let you take this one. Like when you said you just started picking up golf when you were 10 years old and started playing tournaments at 11, like when does that switch happen? Like I have a son who's 8 years old and, you know, we got him play golf and he enjoys golf. But, you know, when does it all of a sudden become, hey, wait a second, this is something I really want to do. This is something I want to take seriously. This is something that I want to take, you know, that might separate myself from my friends at school and that I'm going to take this another level. Like, is there like a switch or is it just because you're playing really well? Sophie, how would you answer that?
Well, like for me, it kind of happened during COVID too. And like up until then, I was also doing like a couple other sports. So I didn't know that golf was like the one thing I wanted to do. But then I guess during COVID, I started practicing more and like the practicing actually led to me getting a lot better. So I just, that's it.
Got it. Did you have anybody, you know, are you have family members that are golfers?
No one in my family is a golfer.
No one. Interesting. Do you have, and maybe this is for everybody, this is kind of a, you know, you guys can answer that first question, but, you know, some of this, I imagine you have to, there's got to be inspiration out there. Like, you know, golf, you know, don't get me wrong. I love golf. I host a golf podcast. I'm obsessed with golf, but golf is also like a niche sport. You know, it's not, you know, basketball or baseball or softball or soccer, or some of the more popular sports. You know, what, you know, aside from just kind of getting better and doing well, like, you know, are you watching the LPGA, the PGA, you know, are there certain, you know, college golfers? Like, what kind of drives you to this sport? Anyone can take that.
I wouldn't say I watch golf, but I like to watch, like, more, like, motivational videos of David Goggins, and he's always talking about just, you know, being more disciplined, and I'm like, I always live by this quote. It's called One Day or Day One. And that's just my motto of like getting myself to practice and just striving to become better every day.
Yeah, for me, when I was like, I'd say 10 or something, we were big Ohio State fans and we were at the Ohio State like golf practice facility. And one of the girls who was on the team, like she points out a locker and she says like, this is your locker, use this as motivation. And that was pretty cool for me. But it's really hard with golf because as you said, it's like a niche sport. Like it's not something super, it's competitive, but it's not like a team sport. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of gets tiring after a while. So you have to find like a bigger reason beyond yourself to keep doing it, or else you're kind of going to get lost in the practice cycle and in just like tournaments that you don't know why you're doing it for. So for me, it all comes from I want to get a college scholarship so I can pursue my dream of going to college and graduating and becoming a forensic interviewer / therapist so I can help kids who have been victims or witnesses of abuse. And wow, that's my passion. So when I'm standing over a putt or any swing to get myself to focus more and really want to do the best I can, like I can't miss two footers. So you have to focus on them. It's I'm doing this for not for myself, not for the trophy, but for all the kids that I can help. So that's like, I feel like it's a calling from God and that's what I want to do. So that's, it's a bigger reason than golf, and that's what I think motivates me.
Wow, that's impressive. That's inspiring. You know exactly what you want to do. I mean, so is that, you know, if that ends up being your future, you know, you end up getting a, you know, playing college golf and allowing that to be your career to help those folks you just described. Is that, would you prefer to do that over, you know, becoming a professional golfer?
Yeah, I've never had my sights on professional golf. I love golf, okay, but I could not imagine it being my life of like unpacking and packing the whole entire time. I want to help kids and I want golf to still be a part of my life. Like I would enjoy playing with friends and playing on the weekends and stuff, but I've never had a dream of going pro.
Interesting. Okay. That's refreshing. That's probably unique. And so one other thing. So Emerson, you, do I have this right? You competed in the drive, chip and putt in Augusta, right? And do I have it right that you've got a sister that this year did the same?
Yes, she did.
What was that experience like?
It was really fun because the year I did it, I was super nervous because like you're on Augusta National and you're inside the ropes and there are all the cameras and stuff. But the year she went, I was outside. So I just got to watch and enjoy. And it was a really cool experience for me, but she's really competitive. I finished fourth when I was there, so her one goal was to beat me. And she finished fifth, so she was, like, heartbroken that I beat her by, like, one place. But it's her motivating force to get back there and beat me. So we'll see.
So 3 years ago, bring it back to the U.S. Girls Junior. 3 years ago, the U.S. Girls Junior was here in the D.C. area at Columbia Country Club and was dominated by now a world-famous golfer. I guess she was then, Rose Zhang. Did any of you go to that event? Were any of you so into golf that you were aware that was going on locally? And, you know, what are your thoughts on Rose Zhang?
I was not there, but I heard about it. And I tried getting one of my friends, Sydney New, to go. I'm like, we need to go. Like, I know she's definitely going to become the number one golfer. Like, we need to go meet her before. And she was like, no. Like, okay. Yeah, I was like, what? But I tried qualifying in that one, but I couldn't make it. But she's an incredible golfer. I mean, I look up to her. She's just amazing swing. The way she plays, it's crazy. And
I watched like the last last match and round of that, but I hadn't really watched the whole thing, and I had no clue it was this close. It was, Katrana's a year older than us, so maybe she was a little more in the know than I was 3 years ago. But yeah, I didn't know that. But also, we're going to have to really get on Sydney for not letting you go meet Rose Zhang, because
exactly. That would have been an experience. We wanted to go meet Alexa. I was like, okay, we can go meet Alexa too. Alexa Pano.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah.
So next week's event, it gets started just in a couple days. We're recording this on a Wednesday. It starts this week. When's the first round? The stroke play?
Monday.
It's on Monday. And so this is a big week. So you have two rounds of stroke play and then potentially four or five rounds of match play all the way to the finals. So yeah, I'm sure you know the exact one I do, but that's a long week of golf. Has any of the tournaments that you girls have played in, you know, that many rounds of golf, a full week, six, seven rounds of golf? Have you played an event this large?
For me, no, but I played in the VSGA Women's Am a couple years ago. It was two rounds of stroke play, and then you make the cut, and then you would play match play. But for me, I got knocked out on the first match play on the last hole, so it's unfortunate, but I guess it's kind of similar to the USGA girls.
Yeah, for me, I've never played a tournament that's that long before, but I've had like really long weeks of golf, which I'm sure we all have. Like, I still hold this close to my heart. One week I walked 56 miles and 110,000 steps that whole week. So I'm still trying to beat that. So if I can make it all the way, I think I can beat that number.
How many rounds of golf is that, 56 miles?
I played 108 holes, 92 of which were competitive.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, that's a lot of walking.
It was a lot of walking.
When are you heading out to California? So the U.S. Girls Junior is at a golf course I'm not familiar with, El Caballero Country Club in Tarzana, California. When are you heading out, Sophie? And do you know anything about the golf course?
Friday morning, I think. I've never been to L.A., so I don't really know anything about the golf course or anything. That's it, yeah.
Do you get a will they give you a practice round or anything?
Yeah, they give us two practice
rounds. Two, okay. That's good. Mm-hmm. You know, this being such kind of a prestigious event, is there anything unusual that you do to prepare for this? You know, are you going out, you know, like Kanchana, what is the team that you're going out with? Is it just you and your family, or do you have a coach going with you or anything like that?
I am going out with my dad and my family friend, who's going to become my caddy. And then my mom is going to fly on Sunday. She's going to come watch me play, and then she's going to fly back to Virginia.
Got it. Emerson, how about you? I know you got at least you have another. Is your sister going with you?
Yes, she is. So we'll see how that goes. But she's going. She actually has a job now. She is a content creator / influencer for one of my, you know, Avery's wife. She plays golf. Her dad owns a cowboy boot company. So she's doing that for like boots. So she has business meetings in LA while I'm having a tournament. So that'll be fun though. I'm really excited. The thing that's different about this tournament is that you can have a caddy. Most of the tournaments you play in, you can't have a caddy. So my dad, we're like big Ohio State fans. He posted on like an Ohio State message board and asking if there any caddies or like anyone knew anyone who could caddy there. And this guy he's the head pro at Bel Air Country Club, actually replied to him and got me like a caddy at El Cab. So I'm super excited. Like We've been texting, and he seems awesome. And I'm actually going to get a tour of Bel Air Friday. So we were also flying in Friday morning, and then like Friday afternoon, I'm getting a tour. So I'm super excited. It's going to be so exciting.
Oh, that's huge. So your caddy for the tournament is a local caddy from the actual club, El Caballero.
Yeah, he is. Like, wow. They have five main caddies, and he's one of those.
Oh, wow. That seems like that could be a nice little advantage.
Yeah, I'm excited.
What is the field size of this? How many girls are in this? Anybody know?
Is it 156?
Yeah, about there. Yeah,
because last year that's what it was.
And I should have asked this right off the bat because I am curious because it seems to be kind of a wide range to qualify for the U.S. Girls Junior. You just have to be younger than 18, right? 17 or younger? Is that right?
Younger than 19, I thought it was.
Younger than 19, okay. And I should have asked this right off the bat, but maybe not the most polite thing to ask, but how old is everybody?
I'm 16.
I'm 15.
16. Okay.
I'm 15.
Okay, so you're right there. But so what's interesting is, Emerson, that means you qualified when you were 14, and you could, do you see yourself trying to compete in this event for the next several years?
Oh, absolutely. This is like a very prestigious event, and I'm really excited. And it's going to be the highlight of my year. It was the highlight of my year last year. And so definitely going to try to qualify as many years as I can.
That makes it that much more impressive. Because I mean, imagine there's a lot of, older teenagers. I mean, 17, 18, some girls that are probably already playing college golf that are either in this event or tried to qualify for it. So getting in at such a young age is huge. What about coaches? Emerson, I do know that you've worked for a long time with a coach that I was also on this podcast a year or two ago out of Creighton Farms, Miss Erica Larkin. What has it been like? And talk about a content creator, and she's a coach and instructor and PGA professional first, but she has a massive following on social media, rightfully so, and creates a lot of content. How has she helped your game?
Yeah, she's awesome. What you see is what you get with her. So everything that you see on Instagram, like, that's real. That's what she does. Like, she's shown me the whole, you take the pie thing and you slam it down. Like, I have all of that. And I knew it before it was on Instagram, which is also super cool. But yeah, she taught me since I was, like 8 or 9. We've been working with each other for a long time. And she's gotten really busy lately. And I see a different coach now. We're still like friendly and we're at the same club and we see each other a bunch.
Oh, that's great. Sophie Kanchana, do you have coaches that you work with? Any that you want to shout out here on the podcast?
For me, when I was about 7, 8, I actually went to Erica as well.
Oh, okay.
She was my coach for a couple of years, and then I switched over to Linda Gaudi. She runs the US Kids Tour, the Northern Virginia Tours. I was with her from about 10 to 13, and then I moved overseas, and I just needed a coach. So I have a coach at my golf club in the Middle East. His name is Martin Steele, and he's from Australia, and he's helped me a lot with my golf swing, with my golf game. And I also have a mental coach who's also helped me during my golf. And he gives me like good advices about how to, fight through adversity. And yeah, so they've helped a lot with my golf game, and I'm really thankful.
That's great. Sophie, how about you?
My current swing coach is Billy Hoffman at Westwood Country Club. He's great. I've been with him, I think, for like 2.5 years. He's helped me a lot with my swing. It's just like become a lot more consistent. And yeah, he's great.
So are you a member at Westwood? Or how does someone get, how do you find a coach? Like, how did you and Billy get paired up?
I think it was just we heard from other people, because my coach previously was like 45 minutes away, and that was just like too much. But Westwood's like 15 minutes away from my house. So.
Okay. Yeah, that'll do it. That helps. For, I think for most listeners, unless they, they're listening because they knew you were going to be on this podcast, your names are likely new to a lot of listeners. I want to hear you guys, describe a little bit of your golf game, maybe your strengths and weaknesses, and Kanchana, we'll start with you. Tell us a little bit about your game out there on the course.
My game, it's pretty funny, actually. It's up and down. There's some holes I'll be really solid, and then some holes I'll have a blow-up hole. So I would say it's like a roller coaster. One of my strengths is probably my driving distance. I can drive the ball pretty far. I have like about 102 head speed for my driver, which is what I've been working on. And it's helped me a lot, especially playing long like distances, about 63, which is really nice. And I would also say my short game is also one of my strengths with my golf game. And yeah.
Sophie, you're next.
I think my strength is probably just my irons. Like, my driver, I don't hit it super far, and I have days where I don't hit it very straight, but I think my, like, punch shots and my iron shots are all pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Punch shots, that's, you know, that's a tricky one to learn and get good at. Emerson, how about you? How would you describe your game?
I hit it pretty far, too, so my driving distance is definitely one of my best points, and then I recently got a new putter, which I absolutely love, so I'm really confident in my putting right now.
Nice. You know, I have to ask you, so you're, and I've had a lot of other, not a lot, but a handful of other teenagers on this program. One of the things I always ask, because, you know, I'm much older, you know, I'm in my 40s, but I also have, like I said, I have one son that's into golf who's 8 years old. How, you know, the social media aspect and the YouTube videos, there's so much stuff on the internet, especially about, you know, getting better at golf. You know, you all are, you know, take golf very seriously. You guys made the U.S. Girls Junior. This is an incredible feat. You all have coaches. But I am curious, you know, as teenagers, do you fall into the same trap that us amateurs do in watching, you know, coaches on YouTube and Instagram and TikTok that, you know, promise the cure to, you know, getting up and down or getting an extra 5 yards in your drive? You know, do you find yourself watching a lot of swing tips online?
I don't necessarily watch any like reels or YouTube videos about swings. I do watch kind of a bit like on the mental side of golf. Okay. Just watching videos on how to like overcome adversity and helping with my mental game.
I didn't think David Goggins was going to get mentioned on this podcast, but you mentioned him earlier. I mean, that's a pretty good one to start with.
Yeah. Maybe I'll have... I read his book, so I'm there with you. Really? My dad, like, he has me read books, so that was one of them. And I actually really liked it. His story is really inspiring. And what he says, like, I really enjoy hearing it because some of it, like, I throw the cursing out and then I take the rest of it to heart because I really like reaching for the cookie jar, like, past experiences. Like, it's all, like, psychologically backed up, which is really cool to see that his experience is true and what he went through is really cool. I don't have any social media, so I don't watch golf videos. I don't watch any videos.
Smart. So what about you, Sophie?
I do a lot of scrolling. So these golf swing videos do always pop up on my For You page. And I like watch them, but I don't take them very seriously. Like, I just watch it for fun. But there's this app. It's like a Chinese app. And my mom is on it. And every time she sees something golf related or swing related, she has to show me.
That's the same way my mom is. Like, anytime she sees anything golf related, she has to show me.
Yeah, it's my dad as well. Just send me. I'm like, okay, I'll watch it later, even though I never watch it.
Yeah. If they only knew that it just never ends. There's just, you know, there's billions of reels and all kinds of stuff. I think I appreciate you being honest, Sophie, that you do scroll like so many of us do. I know I'm guilty of that. But I think, Kanchana, you've got the right idea of maybe focusing on the mental side, and Emerson, maybe even more so, just ditching social media altogether. I'm sure there's a lot of benefit to it. Yeah. So what, I mean, obviously this is a huge event. Again, congratulations on all of you for making this. You know, what else, I am kind of curious, like what does the rest of each of your years look like? I mean, next week is a huge week, but we're still only in July. You know, Sophie, so you've got your fall golf season at Langley. You know, Emerson, Kanchana, or Sophie, like what are there some other big tournaments? Like what does the rest of your year look like?
For me, it's just AJGAs all around. Okay. And then I have a VSGA Women's AM a day right after I get back from California. So I'll probably end up playing that one. But I start my junior year this year, and I'm currently just focusing on getting recruited, talking to a couple of universities and hoping to get a scholarship and play college golf.
Sure. Okay. Emerson?
So I have US Girls this next week, and then after that, I'm home for like a week maybe. And I have a charity tournament, which is going to be fun. And then I'm going to Hawaii for 2 weeks, which I'm so excited about. I talked about how making US Girls twice has been the highlight of my golf career. Going to Hawaii is going to be the highlight of my life. I'm so excited. That's going to be so much fun. And then, yeah, I have AJGAs and four-ball qualifying, but I'm a big college football fan, and, like, every Saturday we are watching college football, so we kind of take the fall easier, and we don't play much fall and winter golf. It's really spring and summer concentrated.
Okay. I do have to ask, so one of the things, this came out several years ago, I forget what year, but I watched it again recently with my son. But some of these conversations with junior golfers kind of reminds me of it. Have any of you or all of you watched the documentary, The Short Game? Are you familiar?
Yeah.
Everybody's nodding. Okay, you've all seen it. Have you seen it recently? So, I mean, I can't remember what year it came out. But I'm curious does anybody have any thoughts on it? It's kind of a fascinating kind of documentary and follow of all of these different juniors that have, there's different family dynamics. They have different kind of, you know, personalities on the golf course. And some of them have turned out to be, you know, great golfers. Amari Avery, Alexa Pano, who's on the LPGA. I'm curious if anybody has any thoughts or opinions or memories of watching The Short Game.
I have a lot of memories watching it, actually. It's kind of funny because the first year it came out, I watched it, and I went to the US Kids World in Pinehurst, the exact same course the Alexa Pano played at, Longleaf, and I actually got second place. So every year when I went to Pinehurst, I would just watch it, and it's kind of was like a superstition for me, like just to play well, and kind of inspired me to be exactly like them.
That's great.
I grew up watching, like, I've watched a Short Game movie a couple of times, and it's interesting to see like them play, and especially the ones who've like become really good. Like, I got to meet Amari Avery's, her and her sister and her dad, and they're all really nice, and it's cool because they're like celebrities. Like, I grew up watching them, but they actually had a TV show called The Short Game, which was like a spinoff of the movie, and it's like a reality show kind of, and about golf dads and their kids basically, and it takes like you into the lives of them. And I watched that show so many times. I've seen every episode at least like 5 times, and I got to meet Avery Zweig, who was on there, and I'm like really good friends with her. So she's also going to be at US Girls, which I'm really excited to see her. And I also got to meet Morgan Rodriguez, who was on the Short Game TV show, which was also a total celebrity experience for me. So it was really cool to meet these kids that I grew up watching in real life, and like they're real people. So it's pretty cool.
That's cool. I'm not sure I've seen the TV show version. The spinoff. I'll have to find that.
I love the TV show. I think it's better than the movie because the movie's only like, what, 90 minutes? The short, right. Like the TV show, it's much longer and more informative.
Okay. Well, what else can we chat about here before I let you girls go? What about in, you know, I know some of you don't, you know, Emerson, you don't have social media. You, when I asked about folks you look up to, I heard some names that weren't golfers, like David Goggins and others. Are there any, do you have, what about in the golf world? Like Sophie, are there any male or female, any favorite golfers that you kind of look up to in the golf world? And they don't have to be tour players. They could be, you know, influencers or whoever else. But who in the golf game, in the golf world, do you kind of look up to?
So I do watch the LPGA, but I don't really have like a favorite player. I mean, usually when people ask, I just tell them Nelly Korda because it's like the basic answer, and she's great. And so, I mean, yeah, I do look up to her.
At least you're honest.
Yeah, I mean, I just look up to like everyone because I feel like all these like pros that you watch, they're all really different, and they all like have different strengths, and it's just like fascinating to watch.
You said you do scroll a bit. I mean, are there any pros that you like when you're working on stuff with your swing? Are there any like pros that you say, okay, I see my swing and that professional, and you know, trying to replicate anything like that, or you stay away from that?
I used to try to find that, but I didn't really find like a good match. Okay, because like I thought my swing looked like Lexi's, right? Because she does a little like jump thing, and I kind of do that too. But she's 6 feet tall, and I'm 5'2", so that wasn't gonna work. And so I didn't really find anyone.
Okay, Kanchana, how about you?
I wouldn't say like I have anyone I would look up to for swing, but definitely my favorite golfer is Colin Morikawa. I love his ball striking with his irons, and he's one of my favorite players. I was able to see him and watch him play at the U.S. Open this year at Pinehurst. Sad that I couldn't get his signature. I was literally chasing him from hole 16 to 18, just hoping to get like an autograph from him, but I couldn't find him, and I was really sad. Yeah.
Maybe you'll hear this. We'll get you an autograph. Emerson, what about you?
So I've been a Jack Nicklaus fan my whole entire life. My dad would like read me bedtime stories of his. Like, he had all those like instruction books with like short stories about holes he played and little lessons about that. So he's been one of my golf idols, and he is the designer of my golf course. So I actually had the chance to meet him because he comes every year for a charity event. Sure. And I've like spent a lot of time with him. We've become like friends, and it's so cool. I really look up to him because I feel like he plays the game with so much grace and class, and I really admire that, and I hope to do that as well. Also, he has an amazing swing, and the way he's been so resilient, like, he was great when he was younger, but then he also like won the Masters at an older age than a bunch of the other competitors, which I thought is so cool.
Yeah, he's got a good swing. You know, he's, you know, probably the greatest golfer that ever lived. You know, that is cool to have that experience that he, you know, obviously, yeah, he designed Creighton Farms, that he comes there every year. That's really cool. Not a bad person to look up to in the golf game. Well, ladies, I know you've probably got a lot more prep and you're heading out here in the next couple of days. I want to congratulate all three of you again. Kanchana, I know you said you live in the Middle East. Can you still represent kind of the D.C. area, Northern Virginia a little bit growing up here in Haymarket?
Yeah, I would say okay. I kind of belong to Haymarket. So it's just, yeah.
Well, the D.C. area will be pulling for all three of you. And I hope you guys have a great tournament and much success. And I wish you all the best of luck. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on the Beltway Golfer podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
I don't have a good golf game, but I don't really care. I'm a regular dude living in D.C., and I want to know about D.C.-centric golf stuff. If you can tell me something that I don't already know, then that is great for me. I don't want the regular stuff. I want exciting stuff. I want different stuff. I want stuff I can't hear elsewhere. But I want it to be about D.C. golf.